Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
Hello, my friend and neighbor. This is Pat Boone. And just like you, I'm listening to Audrey Russo on Real Talk. Hearken.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Iranians are at the brink as their economy is collapsing, and the mullahs continue to kill anyone who defies their stronghold on the country. What's next for these innocents who long for freedom? Well, we're going to discuss this and more with my next guest. For my new listeners, Major General Paul Vallely is a West Point graduate, a retired deputy commanding general for the U.S. Army, a veteran of two combat tours in Vietnam, and a graduate of the Industrial College of the Armed Forces and the Army War College. Throughout his 32-year military career, Major General Vallely served in positions such as infantry company commander, intelligence officer, operations officer, and military advisor. His theaters of operation included Europe and the Pacific Rim countries. He has over 15 years' experience in special operations, psychological, and civil military operations. General Vallely has served as a military analyst for the Fox News Channel and is a guest on numerous nationally syndicated radio and TV talk shows. He's a best-selling author and the founder of Stand Up America. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Major General Paul Vallely. Welcome back, Paul.
Well, thank you, Audrey. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, we're going to jump in with Iran. The Iranian regime's motivations are rooted in its desperation to ensure its survival and to advance its agenda. Of course, not in any willingness to abide by international norms or laws or foster peace. They have already slaughtered at least 40,000 Iranian citizens by their Quds forces. They have lied and broken every agreement they have made with the West in the past. So how do you see the situation before that's set before President Trump, and what options could possibly work considering the mullah's past behavior?
Well, great question. I belong to a Iranian-American association called Cyrus Force. And Cyrus Force is from the great King Cyrus, who was a real hero. And, of course, they do have inroads from information coming out of Iran to Cyrus Force. But they've killed so many, and that's what they do. They just murder many of the young people. Of course, 71%, they say, of the Iranian population now is under 30 years old. A lot of people don't realize there's six different ethnic groups within Iran. the Persians only make up a very small percentage now, the pure Persians. So you've got a situation there where if they show any organization from the people, they're immediately pursued and arrested and put in prison, and many of them killed. The only way out of that, the mullahs will not relent. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll do anything to stay in power, supported by the IRGC, their main military force over there that protects the mullahs. President Trump and our armed forces are prepared now in the area to conduct an assault against what we call regime targets. Regime targets are basically military targets, headquarters of military, barracks, Navy type of installations, taking out the court, the ships, and the facilities there.
Right.
So they'll also figure out from good intelligence where the mullahs are and take out their location, what building they're in, and so on. We've done that before. So if we do launch, it'll be very, very quick. We can shut down Iran telecommunications, everything, probably within 30 minutes to an hour, we can shut that whole country down with our capability,
wow,
which we witnessed in Venezuela.
Wow. Wow. Here's a concern. Now, we know that Israel's prepared, for a backlash from them if and when we strike. But are we prepared? Because remember, under Biden's illegal regime here, he let in a lot that were on, thousands upon thousands that were on the terror watch list. We already had cells here. So isn't it possible, isn't it conceivable that they could possibly strike us within the country through their cells?
Well, yeah, if they're there and they're organized, certainly they could, but they'll not be effective. Our intelligence will pick that up and react to it very quickly with our National Guard in the States, as well as our national military.
Yeah.
So I'm not that concerned about that.
No. Okay. Do you think he will strike? Because I don't think he brought our assets there not to strike them. It wasn't just he wasn't just trying to put a show on. He was. He is threatening them, isn't he?
Well, of course, it's a threat. We did the same thing in Venezuela. We moved the large Navy force down there. We've done the same thing over in the Iran area. He's putting our military in a position to conduct a strike against the regime targets.
Right.
And they're prepared to do that today. We've been monitoring them, their ground forces, their air forces. They really won't use their ground forces because they don't have any way to advance them. Their air force are not very good. The pilots are, so they're not a very well seasoned, trained military force in Iran. They've been defeated about every turn, going all the way back to when Iraq defeated them several decades ago.
Yeah.
But they're not organized. We've known that for a long time. So, to me, it's not the nuclear bomb capability or anymore. It's basically to free the people over there, and to release and destroy the regime there.
Yeah. We're going to move over to Venezuela. Of course, Maduro's gone, but the country is rudderless. What do you see the Venezuelan? What do you see for the Venezuelans, and how critical is it for the U.S. to take an interest in the future leadership, considering that Maduro was involved with the CCP and Russia?
Who did you hear from that they're rudderless?
Well, it looks that way.
Oh, okay. No, their vice president, their government is running things with advice from our people. Advisors were located on the aircraft carrier. That's where we run the operations for. They're assisting them. We've got two major oil companies in there now redoing the all of the sites for the oil and energy there.
Right.
They released a lot of innocent people from the jails. So there is management going on. There is leadership. And we're monitoring that day by day, hour by hour. We have our people down there, not only civilians, but our military. So they're on top of the situation. They know exactly what's going on every day. So I don't know who would be rudderless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what the president had said when he was, well, at least he was questioned, was that we're done for now with Venezuela, that they weren't going to, you know, because there were those that won the election that shouldn't they have stepped in after Maduro was gone? Because they did win the election. He didn't. He just took over.
Yeah, well, that still could be done. They're trying to establish some stability in the country right now.
Right.
And to take out any kind of narco threats, doing the same thing in Colombia. So there's a lot going on down there.
Yeah.
We just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we need to hear about it every day.
No, but we'd like to see the Venezuelans free. So we don't know. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
They're free now to a degree.
Well, they're, yes.
They've done away with the communist thinking down there, dissolving that day by day
right.
with the infrastructure in Venezuela.
Right. I'm going to come back to our country, talking about the SAVE Act and voter ID. Virtually every country requires a person to be a citizen to vote in national elections, and every country has a system to verify that status. In most cases, for the listeners, in most cases, this is done through a national ID card. Yet, when Republicans argue that the United States should follow the same standard and require proof of citizenship to vote, they are labeled fascist, racist, I don't know, Nazis, misogynists. An average of over 80% of all the American people want voter ID. We have the White House, the House, the Senate, and the House passed the SAVE Act, and the president will sign it as soon as the Senate passes it, but Thune is dragging his feet. So, Paul, is it fair to say that the GOP in the majority is the only way to save our elections? Because if they don't pass this voter protection, the communist Democrats will have a way to cheat and win pretty much every future election as they did in 2020.
Yeah, no, it's there. They've got to pass it, and they've got to have the same-day voting. You can't have all these ballots out there that are being illegally taken to the polling stations and then handed out. So we've got to tighten up all the voting in the federal government has the authority to do that, even though the governments in our different states run those elections.
Right.
We have to have a standard system throughout the country, and that means one vote, and you've got to be able to prove you're a citizen. Just like all the other countries do. You just can't have people coming across the border and going down to a polling station and grab a ballot and fill it out. Then, of course, the left-wing Democrats, they want all these illegals still in this country to be able to march down there or put them on a bus and give them a ballot and let them vote and walk it into the precinct and do it illegally. Yeah, I mean, they're crooked. These left-wingers are unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. They are. And this is how nuts they are at this point. They're so upset about the fact that this could happen that you even have Hakeem Jeffries out there saying that President Trump is trying to cheat by passing a law for ID to vote. Think about that for a second. How can you cheat by doing that?
He's too, what do they say, two drinks short of a six-pack or something.
I didn't think he was that dumb, but apparently he is.
No, he's dumb.
He's dumb.
No, there's no doubt he's dumb. most of them are so uneducated, it's unbelievable. There's no cognitive thinking going on in the Democratic Party and those who support him.
Well, I thought to myself, does he even listen to himself? You're saying he's trying to cheat by everyone having ID to prove that they're citizens? How is that cheating? You mean we're stopping you from cheating by doing that? I get it. Okay. He got a little confused. That's what he meant. I want to pop over to Syria. Where do you see this regime going, since an unrepentant Al-Qaeda leader, Al-Jilani, is leading the regime?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see it going?
Well, they still have some fighting going on there. They've gotten some great commitments from Saudi Arabia and some of the other countries, and I think even ours, for the rebuilding of Syria across the country, particularly in the eastern part that was destroyed so much by Assad. I've been in touch with a key guy I work with over there, and I'll be happy to feed you that information when I get it.
Sure.
But I get it live out of Damascus. This is a gentleman that's worked for me over there when I was there in 2012, when I went into Syria with 400 men. So I'm very familiar with it, and I'm very familiar with some of the generals that are still on duty there.
Oh, really?
So I get good information, and I've been feeding that to the State Department.
Wow. You know, I think there are many veterans who have and support President Trump, who are furious with him concerning him honoring, and he was honoring Al-Jilani, a.k.a. Al-Sharaa, because he changed his name. Jilani entered the jihad battlefield. This is, you know this, but the listeners don't. Battlefield in Iraq after 2003, joining forces associated with, of course, we've heard this name before, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi and al-Qaeda in Iraq, participating in roadside bombing, snipings, and other insurgent attacks against U.S. forces. And they looking at how Al-Jilani ended up in the Oval Office twice. You could probably understand why a lot of veterans are ticked at the president, not just having him there twice, but, you know, calling him a good-looking, strong, you know. And I'm thinking, this is not, you know, it's almost dissing a lot of troops that their comrades were killed by him and his ilk. You can understand
That's all false thinking. There's nothing to that. He was a jihadi. Maybe still is in nature. I don't know. But he's the president of their country. And we have a vested interest. We still have troops over there, of course, in eastern Syria. And I say I've been in touch with them. They're trying to rebuild that country. But that's Trump. He wants to invite these people to the White House, engage them, talk to them, maybe get them to turn around. And he's been very successful at it. He's much smarter than because he's not a politician. He's a deal maker.
I understand.
So if he can in the future make a deal with Syria, make it more stable over there. And, of course, they're right next to Israel, right on the border. I've been there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vested interest in promoting a country to maybe to finally end up as a true republic or a democratic nation. But you got to work at it. It's a whole different way of working the world today. Past ways of doing things don't work.
Yeah. So you don't agree with any of those veterans that feel that way?
Well, I don't know why they would. Trump's trying to do the right thing and bring them around.
Mm-hmm.
He's mama daddy, you know?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say mama, he's daddy.
He's daddy.
Big daddy.
Yeah.
He leads the world right now, and he's trying to pull these things together.
Right. No, he's trying to.
You got to support him and not look back. I mean, it doesn't do any good. I mean, history's good and all that, but you gotta act on real world intelligence and what's going on, and then come up with solutions.
Right.
You know, it's just like when I visited General al-Sisi in Egypt after the Second Revolution in 2013, and General al-Sisi, when Obama cut off the aid to them, General al-Sisi turned to me and he says, "Why does America always seem to make its decisions looking through a political prism rather than a reality prism?"
Right. Well, you wrote a book on that.
And it's on the way to you, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Very important question, Paul. Where can listeners follow and support your excellent work and order all of your books, including Beyond Treason, Betrayal and Treason in America, and The Dismantling of America, and there's many more. But where can they do all that?
They can sign up for our website, get our books, see our daily publications of intelligence reports. Some of them come out of Syria, by the way. And that's at standupamericaus.org. You got to put the U.S. in there. standupamericaus.org. Visit us there. Sign up for our newsletter. Comes out every Saturday morning.
Excellent. And as always, I will have those links in my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com. Click on the honor button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info you need to follow the General's work. Thank you so much, Paul, again, for sharing your brilliant assessments on these issues. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.